time now for the College Football Inquirer with Dan Wetzel.
It's the bones, end quote, he told us proudly, pointing at his skinny, pasty waist legs. Quote, women love a good shin, end quote.
And SI's Pat 40.
A possessive apostrophe school name, though, I don't like. Just make it Paul Smith College. Why is this Paul Smith's College? I'm kind of angry about that.
Here's Pat, Russ, and Dan.
Welcome to the pod. Ross is on a cruise ship, sunning himself.
Somewhere, Bermuda Triangle, I don't know where he is.
We may never hear
from him. He's lost at sea.
Yeah. Bermuda Triangle. Ross ain't
Yeah, he was talking a big game, too. Like, yeah, I'll bring my equipment. Should be fine. Should be, yeah, I'll be on. And then we haven't heard a word from him.
Just yeah, he's like, I'm going to get on. I'm going to do the pod anyway. We're like, what are you, crazy?
Yeah.
Yeah, no word from Ross. He may be dead. He may not. I don't know.
Yeah, we hope not, but, you know.
We'll carry on.
Yeah.
Show must go on. And so I posit this simple question to you, Pat. Have you ever been so drunk in Pittsburgh you didn't know you were in Pittsburgh?
I don't want to laugh at Bob Huggins' expense, but no. And, you know, I've had some non-sober days in Pittsburgh or nights, but not to the extent that I did not know I was there. That was wild.
Pete used to say, I had no sacred cows on the show except for Huggins. Well, sorry, yeah. Bob.
Yeah.
According to this police report that did Bob Huggins in, his actions that night, a few times he stated he was in Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
Another time he said he was in Sherrodsville, which is a small town in eastern Ohio. He claimed he had been in Washington, PA. At least he was in the state.
Got closer there.
Said his sister lived in Pittsburgh, but he wasn't sure where. Or sister-in-law or something. And basically had no idea how he got to Pittsburgh, why he was in Pittsburgh, or where he was going in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, or how he shredded his tire on his car.
Right, or what happened after going to a Burger King at 1:30 in the afternoon. Look, we're only reason we can even joke about this is because he didn't kill somebody,
right?
And didn't hurt himself or anything else. But good Lord, was Bob Huggins drunk behind the wheel?
Yeah,
this was no. I had an extra glass of Chardonnay.
No,
at the wedding and was driving. Not that that's excusable either, but Huggins, my lord. I was not surprised he resigned. I think he's completely humiliated. He has no one to blame for himself. He won't blame anyone for himself, which is sort of the endearing part of him. But this is absolutely, he's 69 years old. He's been arrested for DUI before, 19 years ago, but still, he undoubtedly risked it between then and now. 6 weeks ago, he has the absurd and vitriolic radio interview where he's acting like just a total clown, joking around, I guess, in his idea, using slurs and anti-cat. I don't know. It's like he had just lost it. He just straight lost it on that interview. And then the thing about Huggins is like weakness is... he hates weakness more than anything else. And this kind of behavior is incredibly weak and embarrassing. And so he's got a lot of work to do on what he wants, how he wants to live the rest of his life, because this is absurd. And it's the end of an otherwise very colorful and mostly successful career.
Yeah, it's sad. It's pathetic. You are correct that it's fortunate, actually, that this didn't end worse. Especially another thing there in the criminal complaint is that after they tried to get him over to the side of the road, he tried to turn around and apparently drive off. Like, what was he going to do then? You know, I mean, his judgment was incredibly impaired. He blew a .210, which is a staggeringly high number.
Don't forget the one, 2.1.
Yeah, 2.10.
Give him the full credit. Oh, 2.10, yeah. I'm sorry, yeah.
Yeah. Or, yeah, .210. I thought you only had
.2, whatever. Trash, yeah. That's what he blew. He blew freaking trash.
Yes, he blew trashed. And, yeah, for context, I put in my story of how dangerous, like, when you were that drunk, in Kentucky 35 years ago, Larry Mahoney drove the wrong way on an interstate straight into a bus and killed 24 people, 27 people, 24 kids. Like, bad things can happen. So, fortunately, that wasn't the case. But for Bob Huggins, it was bad enough that it did cost him his career. And he walks away, should leave West Virginia as a hero. And I'm sure eventually there will be a nice embrace for him there. But this is a disgraceful way for it to end. And yeah, you're right. This is a guy that proud, tough, hates weakness, but this was a sign of extreme personal weakness in terms of judgment. And it does. It's a strange downward spiral to the end for him of his coaching career. And at age 69, yeah, it's like, man, you've got to get yourself in order, or else this is only going to get worse the end of his days here.
I mean, it's like, what was the plan here? Like, it was like, they kind of insinuated that he might have had beers in a cooler in the car. Like, the cooler was wet. There were no actual beers in there. There's lots of empty cans of beers, which, you know, maybe he was recycling. I mean, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean he just drank them, but probably did. I mean, it's just unbelievable, the details of this arrest. I mean, I saw the initial news and I was like, oh, here we go. And then it was so much worse.
Yeah.
And, you know, complicated guy in that manner. His ability to charm, coach, charm people, connect with fans, coach players, staff, or people, you know, people, there's a great affinity for Bob Huggins. At his best, he's a great coach, and a great man, but and part of it is that sort of you know, I put in my column, you know, he used to always say, well, I grew up in a town with 500 people, one stoplight, 9 bars. And that was his explanation for who he was. Mm-hmm. You know, small town, hard work guy, fight your way up, but also at the end of a long day, you know, you're down there having at the shot and beer joint. Mm-hmm. And this isn't 1967 anymore where you weave your way home on some farm road or the cops just drive you home, you know, and for the better, obviously, yeah,
right,
for the safety of the rest of us. That isn't allowed. But for him to not have Uber, a driver, a freaking limousine, a handler, anything, I don't know what he was doing that night, but he was at his absolute worst. And 6 weeks, he obviously was not doing a whole lot of reflecting on his life. You know, we wondered whether he had been drinking in that interview, because it was so absolutely bizarre that he would, you know, it's bad enough you would think those jokes. You can't stop someone from thinking things or thinking certain things are funny or whatever. But why in the world would you possibly ever say them on a 50,000 watt radio station?
Right. Unless, once again, your judgment was impaired. And
right.
Don't know if he was drinking, but that certainly crossed our minds.
Yeah.
You know,
and so I think his overall just life judgment is impaired when you're just like, hey, I think I'm just going to, I mean, I don't know where he was. Yeah. I'm just going to drive around Pittsburgh so drunk I don't know I'm in Pittsburgh. I mean, it's
yeah.
So,
no, I think your point that, like, Bob Huggins needs to enter the 21st century. And there's some parts of him that were admirably old school, but the homophobic slurs and thinking, yeah, you can just get in the car, plowed, that doesn't fly anymore, and it shouldn't fly anymore, and he's paying a very significant consequence for it, that's for sure. And it's funny, I mean, I talked to some people, you know, from the West Virginia side of things Saturday night, and they said Huggins always has a driver. So, like, they don't know what the heck was going on, that all of a sudden, A, he doesn't have one, and B, he just gets hammered. You know, whatever however that came to be, there were some mystified people there, like, where, you know, how did Bob go off on his own like this, and why didn't he think to have somebody driving him around?
He used to have a manager drive him around when back in Cincinnati, I remember, and if he was out at the bar, guy would stay and get him home, but then he still got a DUI there, and I don't know. Well, fortunately, it wasn't worse. This could have been an absolutely horrific situation, and hopefully Coach Huggs gets on with it. He's got a beautiful family, and hopefully gets on with his life, and this is the end of that. I don't know.
Yeah.
So we wish him well. He obviously has got a lot of things to work through, and they're not fun to do, and they're not easy to do, but he's a tough guy, so hopefully he's as tough as in taking on this challenge, but there is no need for him to be coaching basketball or representing a university in that manner, and we'll see where he heads up.
Real quick, let me just throw this in here real just before we get to that. Just the West Virginia job is an interesting one, I think. Where they go with it, I don't know. I think they want to do a national search and come up with an established coach. We'll see if they can do that. They're not going to take forever. If they can't, they're going to spend a couple of weeks on this. If they can't get the guy they want, they'll probably go the interim route. But if you think about it, I mean, do the boosters that loved Huggs, are they going to be in this without Huggs? Are they still going to be there with the NIL cash that they put together to bring in the best transfer class? You're in that really tough league that only gets better. Now Houston is coming in, Cincinnati, BYU, some good basketball schools. The travel is brutal. So it's not an easy job. Huggins had good success there, but that's a hard job, and it's potentially going to get harder. Now, if they can keep the NIL cash and you can keep getting players, that's better. But we'll see where that goes. Give us a couple of weeks and see whether West Virginia can hit a home run on a replacement or if they have to go the interim route.
That's the question. He was the best with those old money boosters.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, he's got a lot of, I mean, this whole story is atrocious, but I mean, he should be, if he wants to pay back West Virginia for unbelievable loyalty, including allowing him to resign and not firing him the moment the police report hit.
Yeah.
That's what he should spend his time doing.
Mm-hmm.
If he's got time to work or he needs a project, I'm the liaison to the old coal barons or whoever the heck's funding this thing.
Yeah.
Because he owes them, because he could have been fired a number of times. And certainly, a little bit, it's like, if you literally need a driver, like, what kind of,
right?
Just thinking about that, like, well, he always has someone drive him around, which is good, but it's also like, Jesus.
Yeah, you need one, really?
Like, you could never go out and just not drink? Or stay home?
Late 60s? Yeah,
come on. Yeah. Yeah. You said enter the 21st century. I mean, 21st century is almost quarter done.
I know. Yeah, he's late. He's way late.
Oh, God. All right. Realignment.
Yeah.
One of the more hysterical stories I remember. San Diego State decides to tell the Mountain West that it is requesting a one month extension before it can tell it officially that it wants to resign from the Mountain West. It intends to, But clearly its preferred landing space, which I believe would be the Pac-12, has not finished its TV deal and thus has not extended an offer. So it wants to get a one-month extension due to given unforeseen delays, this is quote, involving other collegiate athletic conference beyond our control. This is like telling your wife you're going to leave her for this other woman, but we're waiting for the other woman to dump her husband. But if she doesn't become available and offer to then be with you, you're going to stay. So how about another month? How the hell does this work?
It's a that's trying to thread a pretty pretty ballsy needle, I guess I would say there. We really don't want to be here with you, but we may be stuck, so if you could just kind of hang with us and chill for another month here. We're probably leaving. We'd like to leave, but can't quite pull the trigger on it yet, so just a heads up that if we do get around to it, we still want the discount. You know, we want the $17 million exit fee, not the $35 million exit fee or whatever.
Yeah, it says if San Diego State says it's out now, its exit fee would be $16.5 million. If it gives notice that it's leaving after June 30th, it jumps to $34 million. So the Mountain West stands to gain whatever that is, right? What's that, 17 million, 17 and a half million? Oregon, why would the Mountain West give this deal? What's in it for the Mountain West? Like good faith? You owe me $17.5 million. Like, screw you, San Diego State.
Yeah, it's like, look, I don't blame San Diego State for trying, but I also wouldn't blame the Mountain West for saying, no, a deal's a deal, a contract's a contract. And these sort of things, again, where, you know, where we hear people in college athletics, where's the loyalty from the players who want to transfer or want to go here and go there? Well, they signed a letter of intent. Oh, well, how about the contract that you signed to stay in this league or the contract you signed for that job for 5 years and you won out after a year?
Yeah. You know. Well, yeah. How about tampering?
Yeah, tampering.
There's
yeah.
clearly tampering going on. San Diego State clearly has something set up with the Pac-12.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the did they enter the portal?
The guardrails are not working here. Guardrails are not working.
What's more disruptive to college athletics than changing leagues? Every single player in every single player and coach is impacted. A whole league is impacted. So much uncertainty. And it's like, oh, that's okay. Hell, they can even ask for the discount. But if a kid gets tampered with and wants to switch from, you know, San Diego State to wherever, USD, University of San Diego. All right, imagine that. Like one of Brian Dutcher's players is like, hey, I think I'm going to, you know, I talked to Steve Lavin over at USD. I'm going to switch over there now.
Yeah.
Why he's tampering? Ah, right. I'm not accusing Coach Lavin of anything. I'm just saying, using the geographic example. Yeah, San Diego State, straight the whole league, the entire Pac-12 tampering with San Diego State and SMU, tampering with everybody. Make it make sense.
Yeah, this is institutional level tampering. And it's going on, clearly. It's classic. I did have somebody ask me, like, why did San Diego State feel the need to put this in writing and hit a public school and thereby have it, like, accessible to a lot of people? You could have picked up the phone and called Gloria Navarez, the commissioner, and said, hey, here's the situation, as opposed to spelling it out and then having people get a hold of their letters. It's like three different letters, too, back and forth.
I don't know.
$17 million in the Mountain West, that's a lot of money. I know you can be splitting that up amongst, 11 schools, but they would.
Hell yeah, they take it.
Yeah.
So are we to believe then that San Diego State, this Pac-12 TV deal is kind of just hanging out there. We want things done now. But are we to believe that that's where San Diego State and SMU are going to go to the Pac-12? Is it fair to say that those are the odds-on favorite? Pac-12 is going to go back to 12, and they're going to jump San Diego, stay in Southern California best they can, and then grab Dallas as a preemptive move against the Big 12. Is that is that fair to say, or can the Big 12 still somehow get San Diego State, or is they even on the is that even their first choice?
Yeah, I mean, it certainly seems everything's lined up for this to be the Pac-12's move, and I think that is 100% San Diego State's preferred destination. I think SMU would go wherever SMU could go, but if the Pac-12's interested, you go, and you sure don't sit there and say, well, let's think about it and see if the Big 12 comes around. You say, let's sign the papers and go. So, yeah, I think those are the options. I don't know whether the Big 12 has, I wouldn't be surprised if they had some interest in San Diego State, but whether it's reciprocal or not is the big question. I just don't think that works nearly as well for San Diego State as the Pac-12 would. And, this is one of those things where they're sitting there just like, come on, Pac-12, come on, come on, come on. We've been talking for months. This has been just sitting there waiting to happen, and it continues to not happen. Within the timeline, the Pac-12 still, not like on, some, whether they haven't blown past a serious deadline or anything, but I think everybody's tired of waiting on this thing to happen and see exactly what it is. And so if you're San Diego State, you do have a bit of a deadline because of the exit fee. So I don't know whether the Big 12 says, let's continue to destabilize the Pac-12 by going after these schools as well, or if you just let it happen. I'm not sure what their play would be, but I expect this to end up with San Diego State and SMU in the Pac-12 this summer.
Yeah, I think that's the way to go. Would those be your top two choices if you could take them?
Yeah.
You think they're making the right moves?
Yep, I like it. I mean, I like it for both schools. I like it for the Pac-12. SMU by no means controls the Metroplex. That's probably a Texas first. And then, you've got TCU over at Fort Worth, and you've got Baylor down I-35. And there's plenty of alums from Texas A&M and Texas Tech and everything else in Dallas. But still, SMU gives you a foothold in a state where college football is king, and SMU does have some history, and they do have some money.
A lot of NIL money.
Yes, and they really want to be good at football and to be in this league. Would they be willing to take a discount to join a Power 5 league? Yeah, I think they would. And I think they've watched what's happened with TCU, their rival, and said, oh my gosh, we really need some Power 5 juice.
I think it's good for the Pac. I think SMU makes a lot of sense for the Pac-12.
Yep.
I think the Arizona schools in particular can recruit really well out of Texas. It's a long way, but it's perceived not to be a long way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Colorado, obviously, just looking short term, Deion Sanders back in Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
Long term, it's good. I mean, I agree. Is SMU control the Metroplex? No. First of all, the Dallas Cowboys control the Metroplex.
Yeah.
The Mavericks struggle for attention. And, it's cowboy country. But there's a ton of players, and it's good to be playing games down there. And that is a school that is willing to invest significantly to make it Power 5 caliber, the way TCU was.
Yeah.
You know, that was the thing with TCU. They're, you know, they got, I remember, was it 7 or 9 guys built the new stadium?
Yeah.
Like they leaned on the big money guys all got together probably at the grill room at the Colonial and raised like $107 million and built a great little football stadium they built.
Oh, it's phenomenal.
And, nice. You know, right size stadium and let's go. Mm-hmm. And look at, they're in the national title game. So I think SMU has got terrific potential. If anything, Dallas and their locations probably even a little bit more appealing than TCU's for talking about staying home. Mm-hmm. They're obviously behind the program there, but you know, does Sonny Dykes leave SMU for TCU if SMU's in the Pac-12? Probably not.
Yep.
So there's no way to replace USC and UCLA for the Pac-12, but this is be about as good as it gets.
Yeah. Yeah. You want to have a SoCal presence still, and that's San Diego State, obviously. And then, yeah, if you're looking for that 12th team, why not go into the heart of the biggest football state, you know, west of the Southeast and go get some Dallas action. Absolutely.
So, and if you're one of these, so, you know, the Big 12 has certainly targeted the corner schools, Arizona, Arizona State, Colorado, and Utah. Does a Texas presence, it's not the thing that, you know, it's not like, oh, okay, it's all solved, I got no interest in the Big 12. But does adding a Texas presence, you know, is it one more straw on the camel back kind of thing that tilts that scale? Like, hey, what are you going over there? Oh, you're going over there to play in Texas? Well, we're going to go into Dallas. You know, right. and do you really want to play in Lubbock and, you know, that, like, we're going to get into Texas now, too. So that's one less little, you know, you'd be more Texas if you're Big 12, but you also got to go play in, as we just talked about, Cincinnati and West Virginia and Provo, you know, like all these different things. I think it helps. It's one more little question.
Absolutely. Sure. I mean, and again, I mean, if the money is basically a wash, I think you end up taking on more trouble than you get benefit from it. If you want to bail, if you're one of those four corner schools, Colorado seems like, you know, the most itchy about potentially leaving. I do say, you know, we'll see again what the actual Pac-12 contract looks like, and not just numbers, but where are the games being broadcast? And if it is streaming city, if it's all just streaming, that could turn off some schools as well. You know, yeah. Say, wait, we've got to be on linear TV, but that's another element to it. But all things being relatively equal, yeah, I don't think the Arizona schools or really any of the four corner schools would be wise to say we're bailing on the Pac-12 if they're going to add SMU, San Diego State, and the money's decent.
Interesting story in the Athletic the other day about Maryland football, and just sort of like a state of the program kind of thing. It was Stuart Mandel and I think it was Jaina Bardell. I think that's how you say her name. And you know, it's good. Where's the program? And how the heck do you get going? There's all sorts of bold talk. We can be Penn State and Ohio State. Well, we'll see. Interesting quote to me, though, is from Mike Locksley, the coach of the Terrapins. They had just moved. They've just recently opened a $149 million football facility. Jones Hill House, I think it's called. Supposed to be spectacular, all this stuff, all this thing. Here's the quote from Locksley. Unfortunately, we moved in at a time when facilities have been de-emphasized in a recruit's mind because they'd get dressed in a trash can for $25,000.
It's a good quote.
Great quote. Couple things. Obviously, again, with the guardrails, nobody cared if they spent $149 million and it went to contractors and construction companies. We weren't call Tuberville, call Manchin. Let's get something done here. We just spent $150 million on a freaking locker room and a place to train. Much like we were saying. Totally ridiculous. Totally fine. Wait a minute. Kid wants 25 grand. He'd rather not get a, what was the lockers of Texas recently? $8,000 locker. He wants 8,000.
Yeah.
We better have a congressional committee to understand why someone would rather get $8,000 than change in front of an $8,000 locker. I could answer. They're not idiots. So here's the question, and we've been asking this for a while, but when does one of these schools say we have $150 million where Maryland, we can spend $150 million and get as good of a internal football facility space as, say, Penn State, but we can't get the 110,000 seat stadium. We can't get the whiteout. We can't get the all the just whatever. We can't get 110,000 people in our stadium unless Penn State shows up. What if we just pay the kids?
Yeah.
There's no salary cap. When do one of the schools just flat out say, screw facilities, we don't care? And the coach is out on the trail going, listen, man, I'm not going to insult you. We're not going to spend money on a new locker like Texas. We care about you and your family, not your locker. We don't care how it looks. You want a locker or you want money? When does someone just fully lean in on it and go all cash? Because it's never even, right? It was never even.
Right.
So what can you do?
Yeah. No, that's the thing. I mean, well, you know, the kick in the ass is that from a basketball perspective, West Virginia was that school in the spring.
Kind of was,
you know? I'm looking, they had the number two transfer class, and it was all, they get Kirk Creasa, point guard from Arizona. He ain't going there because he likes the song Country Roads. You get Jesse Edwards, center from Syracuse. You get Raekwon Battle, who's a really good player from Montana State. I saw him play. I mean, they had dudes coming in because it was NIL money. It was not because the Coliseum at West Virginia is some Taj Mahal. I know that. I've been there. So, but from a football standpoint, sure. I mean, you know, I think Tennessee's ramped up a long way in that area. Miami tried to, you know, we'll see if they can maintain the level of investment that they had made for players. A few other ones, Texas certainly has, but Texas also has the $8,000 lockers in addition to the NIL money. But that should be, and I think is increasingly becoming, the message from coaches to your administrators and to your boosters. Like, hey, thank you for your support. Here's what we need to do with it. We need to funnel it to the players, not to the bells and whistles of an infrastructure.
So why does this bother people so much?
That's a great question.
I know it's not you, but why do you care if $150 million is getting spent? Why do you care if it's on players and not whatever, a locker facility or a training room you don't need?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's astounding when you think about it, you know, whether it's just easier. I'm sure, you know what, on some level, there's some ego of like, I just built the Pat 40 facility, you know, and put the name of your name on there, and it's going to be there for 50 years or whatever. You can't.
It's going to be there 10 years.
So, yeah, well, but for now, you can't have the Pat 40, NIL payment plan or whatever. So.
Right. Well, you know how they endow coaching, like some, and then like the school will send out releases. They'll be like, Nick Saban, the Pat 40 and family. endowed coaching position. Like, wait, what? What is this? Yeah. Who's that guy?
Right.
I don't know. I just like, okay. If I'm much like we talked about Dilford is leaning in on what you're not. Maybe West Virginia basketball was doing it and then Hugs blew it. But some of this stuff is just, I mean, that's an amazing quote from Mike Locksley.
It
is. Thanks for the $150 million. We don't need it. Should have been in a garbage can. Holy hell. How'd you like to be the Maryland booster on that?
Yeah, right. Wait a minute. Yeah. I just gave how much money for what? Yeah,
it's,
no.
And they, you know, they're in Congress. Oh, it's not even. It's not uniform. Well, does Kent State have $150 million for a locker room? Did Maryland before? Did, like, nobody's has it even.
No. Never been even.
If your friend says, or anybody comes to you and says, hey, would you like to switch jobs and come work at our company? You say, well, how nice is your office? Our office, we just did a $150 million renovation. You'll get the same amount of money as your last job, but but if they say, hey, you're getting a 15% raise, you're like, hey, now.
Yeah. 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 That's it's funny. Yes. That is the way American commerce works, except with college athletics. And then everybody needs their guardrails.
Pat, there has been some discussion. I think people are just at the we're bored section of the offseason. That the preseason number one football team in America, which is completely meaningless, which is the best about these guys, a meaningless discussion about a meaningless subject in a meaningless part of the year. The number one preseason team in America should be the University of Michigan. Not what I presume will be the number one team in America, the Georgia Bulldogs, which has won two consecutive national titles and probably won their second when they would have, I think even Kirby Smart said it, but if not, we could truth serum them. Was probably in a transitional year and maybe would have been the year they don't win it, heading into the year they will win it. Should the Wolverines be number one is my question to you.
No, that is my answer to you. Yes, I can understand if you want to put it on paper, returning this much returning production, got a good quarterback. You got two superstar running backs. You got most of your offensive line. You got receivers. You've got a lot of good defensive players. Will Johnson's going to be a star at cornerback. You know, they got parts, but let's keep in mind two things. First of all, yes, Michigan has made the playoff 2 years in a row. What happened when they made the playoff? What happened when they got out of the Big Ten vortex? They got absolutely truck-sticked by Georgia in 2021. And in 2022, they were beaten and never led for a minute by TCU, which then went on to get truck-sticked horrifically by Georgia. So that tells me there's still a gap between where Michigan has been and where you need to be to win a national championship. So hype, great, you know, excitement, have it, but got to prove it to me.
Yeah, I can't. I mean, can't do this. it just doesn't. I got to see more out of JJ McCarthy too.
Yep.
Very good. It's not a lot. You can't really criticize the guy. I'm not trying to criticize him, but can he make that next level jump from very good and great leadership and all that to truly elite player? Like, what is his ceiling? The turnovers in the semifinal were the difference in the game.
Yeah.
And
two pick sixes, right?
He fumbled on the goal line and then a pick six, I think.
Yeah. Is that it? Yeah.
But like huge, the touchdown should have been a touchdown on the catch, but that's football. They made the call. He fumbles on the goal line, but we're trying to get in. I mean, look, we're picking it apart. He's had very few losses, but you know, he played against Michigan State. That he came in that Michigan State game the year prior and had a a fumble that cost him that game for whatever it's worth. But I think he's very good. And I think 99% of the schools would be quite happy to have J.J. McCarthy. But does he go that next level? Do they have enough to compete against a Georgia? You know, my guess is had they had not blown that game against TCU, they get trucked in the title game. Anyway.
Yeah.
And so then you're sitting there going, yeah, this isn't even a debate. But they do return a lot. They have a ton of offensive talent coming back. Quorum and Edwards are terrifying for a. They're not just two great running backs, but the way they run, it's two different styles.
Yeah,
and it's like fastball slider coming at you, or fastball wrecking ball. I don't know. And then they filled in with the portal. I suppose we will see, but you know they rebuilt their defense through the portal. So, really terrific opportunity. I can't give them. And I still got to see. You know, Penn State might be the team to beat in the Big Ten.
I know.
That team is ready, and I think it's quietly ready. Everyone is kind of, nobody wants to pick Penn State to win the Big Ten because you look like a fool the last half dozen years, but they're there, and Ohio State's very good. So like Michigan can be a very good team and lose twice.
Sure. Absolutely. Not out of the question. By the way, McCarthy did throw two pick sixes in the game. So
two pick sixes and a fumble at the goal line. That's 18 points, 21 points.
Yep. That's not good. Not good.
No. And I mean, prone to huge problems, and that's not a great game. I think he's a great player. I hate picking on college players.
Yeah.
I just think there's another level of him to maybe see where we're at.
Yes, for sure. For sure. You know, and I know Harbaugh loves him and loves him for good reason. And a lot of that is intangibles, but there needs to be just a little more tangibles to go along with the intangibles.
Yeah.
Hey, Penn State, if Drew Aller is the goods that he was billed to be coming out of high school and that he showed on occasion last year, then they've got pretty much everything you want. They lost a couple absolute studs in the secondary, Joey Porter Jr. and Jair. I'm blanking on his last name. Safety. So they need some players there, but they got good running backs too. They've got a couple rising star receivers. Their defense. They've got Abdul Carter's absolute star in the making at linebacker. So they're a little younger, but they should be extremely good as well. Yeah, that's a three-team. One more roundup for the Big Ten East, where the winner of that should absolutely squash the winner of the Big Ten West in the Big Ten title game.
Yeah, we'll see if that round robin's always good. Always good. Unfortunately, the Big Ten did not agree with that. You should not have them all play every year.
Mm-hmm.
Fairness, Pat. Fairness. Fairness. Level playing field.
There you go.
Need a level playing field. Mm-hmm. Poor Buckeyes and Nittany Lions would have too hard of a schedule. Wolverines. Sad, sad story. Want to send our condolences to the family of James Loveless, who you've probably never heard of, but I wish I had. His obituary came to our attention recently.
Oh, indeed.
I'm just going to read it because it is one of the great obits. From PulaskiFuneralHome.com, and this is true. James
Kentucky.
Loveless.
Another Kentucky
from Kentucky.
Story.
Pulaski, Kentucky. Where is that? That's the hills, I'm guessing.
Yeah, it's out there. It's out there.
Eastern Kentucky. Mm-hmm. Right? Appalachia.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Pulaski. You ever been to Pulaski?
Yeah, I have.
Ever been so drunk in Pulaski you didn't know you're in Pulaski?
No.
Some guys have. I bet some people have been. Maybe James himself has been so drunk.
Seems entirely possible.
Here we go. Born and raised in Kentucky in 1963, as an aside, a state that has been recently leaning more toward liberal values, we might add, Jamie, a divorced father. Just got to throw a little politics in. Love this. Jamie, a divorcee, father, grandfather, and proud owner of a few lots in the trailer park, had had enough and up and died on us on June 14th in order to avoid another presidential stolen election mishap in the near future. All right. Let's go. Gloves off. As a gluttonous eater of fried foods and snack cakes, as well as the occasional chili cheese dog, this is a true obit. I'm serious. James tried in vain to give up the ghost by clogging his arteries and having a stroke in 2015. His twin boys, Rocky and Rodney, had other plans and made him go to the hospital. While waiting in the ER at the hospital, he was heard saying, "Let's make a break for it," only to be heard by one of the hospital staff and forced to go through the procedure. He wasn't too excited about the prospect, but went anyway. On many occasions in life, James was seen in his backyard at the trailer park during the early morning hours, hammering beers, standing over country-style ribs, and yelling, "It's got a head like a cat on it." I don't know what that means. While nearby neighbors would peek out the windows bearing looks of disgust and amazement as his party guests were slurring remarks about needing to speed up his cooking style. "We've been here since 5 o'clock," they would say. "I've got work in the morning," end quote. Pat, can you translate that from Kentuckyese to English, please?
Sorry, no, I don't speak that particular dialect.
Okay.
So
we don't know if he was married. Who wrote this?
I don't know.
Sources. I mean, what? Isn't the guy who should write the obit for the funeral home have this kind of information?
Know whether he was married. Yes. Yes.
We don't know if he was married, but he was definitely a ladies' man. Oh, of course. There was Kathy, Mary Lou, Tammy, Deborah, Carrie, Tina, etc., etc.
Oh boy.
These poor women had their worst mistakes just put out there into the world.
That's right. That's right.
"It's the bones," end quote, he told us proudly, pointing at his skinny, pasty waist legs. Quote, "Women love a good shin," end quote. This guy's fantastic. We think he might have even had some females waiting for him on the other side. Oh, I'm sure. Jamie loved his family more than anything else in the world, except ice cold bush, room temperature bush, T-bones, New York strip, prime rib, shrimp, swimming, poker, hatchback Mustang GTs, tank tops, Kentucky men's basketball, and his personal copy of Eddie Murphy's Raw.
That's quite a list of life allegiances, right?
He leaves behind his second favorite son, Rocky. His favorite son, Rodney. I guess we know who wrote this thing.
I think, yes. I would say Rodney must have been our author.
Yeah. A younger brother, Joey. An unofficial daughter, Melissa, of the trailer park. As well as a pair of old boxers which have, quote, Buttweiser, B-U-T-T-Weiser, Buttweiser, the king of rears, printed on the design. He will be moderately missed. James Loveless, R.I.P., buddy. R.I.P. I'd like to think you are a pod listener, but the fact you treasured an Eddie Murphy Raw DVD or something. Is it even a DVD?
Who knows?
Probably not. I don't think you knew how to download a podcast, but I wish you
probably
did.
Probably not. Probably not. Yeah. Yeah. I would have liked to have heard from James Loveless a few times on our pod. I will say, yeah, you know what? I looked it up. Pulaski County, 81% voted for Trump. 82 and 81 in the last two elections.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
He just, it's too much. He just gave up. It's getting too liberal out there in Pulaski.
Yeah.
The liberal values of Pulaski.
Yeah.
One of the all-time great. I mean, I just, I, you know, I'm in favor anytime somebody just tells the truth, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, this was the guy. What are we doing here?
Yeah. Let's not gild the lily on the way out. Let's tell him, yeah. Like,
legend of the Pulaski trailer park.
Yeah. Quite a ladies list there he had, man.
That's... I know. They got kind of, yeah.
Impressive. Well,
I mean, who could resist a good shin?
Got to give credit to Rodney or whoever the author was. That was well done.
Yeah, Rodney's got a future, man.
Yeah.
He's got a future. All right. Finally, some more Sickos Committee non-national, non-NCAA national champs.
Yeah, what do we got?
Let's see what we can figure out here. This is a logo. We're getting deep into the thing. I don't know what the logos are.
Yeah.
Rocketry launch.
Mm.
Who won the rocketry launch national title? This will make a little bit of sense. This will make a little bit of sense.
Oh, okay. Like Alabama Huntsville. They got big rocket. Whoa, yes.
Are you cheating?
No, I swear to God. They got that giant rocket by I-65 when you go by Huntsville. Yeah, it's Rocket City or whatever they call the place. So, how about that?
Yeah, the UAH Chargers won the rocketry launch. That's an NCAA. That's a national title. I'd like to watch that competition.
Yeah, have them ready
that's
in
a
case
spectator sport.
Yeah, have them ready in case North Korea gets sassy.
I tried to watch the space shuttle get launched. Jay Hart, one of our editors and podcast listener, and I went, is that we were in Daytona for a race and then we were driving down to Miami, so we stopped in Titusville and we stood there all night, and then clouds came in, they canceled the launch. It was terrible.
Nice.
Yeah, pretty sad. Let's see what else we got here. The steel bridge championship, who won that?
What you build are there enough bridges get built to have a competition?
Listen, if you think I did any research for this show, how do you think I spent my Father's Day? Drinking Busch Lights or researching what the steel bridge? I don't know.
Your Twitter followers know because you put your picture, your photo of
came clean.
Yeah.
Delicious. Delicious.
Yeah. Great. Steel bridge winner, like Carnegie Mellon.
That's a good. That is a good guess, right?
Yeah.
They got a lot of bridges in Pittsburgh. Yep. No, Florida Gators. I don't know. Gators. Okay. Solo instrumental music. Instrumental music.
Juilliard.
You're not getting this. Sam Houston.
What?
I don't know.
Really?
They also won jazz dance D1.
Man, Sam Houston got some music school or something going on down there.
Need to rebuild the trophy case down there.
Bearcats with a K. That's Sam Houston.
Yeah, they don't know how to spell Bearcat.
What city is Sam Houston State in? Huntsville, Texas. Okay.
Is it Huntsville?
Yeah.
What's the one in Nacogdoches?
Oh, that's is that Stephen F. Austin?
Yeah, that's it. Steve. I knew it was a name one. Yeah, Stephen F. Austin. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Race to Zero Waste national title.
Okay. I'm going Pac-12 here. They're big on their sustainability. I'm going to say University of Oregon.
Loyola Marymount. So you're in the kind of, you know,
in the neighborhood.
They're able to recruit better down to LA. Got the Race to Zero Waste. Surveying national title. This is not a spectator sport.
No.
Watching people just look through the boring sport you could ever watch.
I would like to at least, like, what are they looking at when they look through those little things? If we have a listener who wants to inform us.
Well, like the grade of the land, right?
I guess so. But I mean, like, yeah, how does it work? What do you see? I don't know. I need more information on the little tripod thing that they look through. Anyway, Colorado Mines. I'm going to go with that.
That would be probably a good choice. Purdue Northwest.
Oh, okay.
First
like
off,
in Gary?
I don't know. What's the arrogance of Purdue claiming? First, they claim there's a West Lafayette, not a Lafayette. Now they're claiming there's a Purdue Northwest, not just a Purdue.
You know, you've already got
Northwest part of the state.
You're digging in deeper with Purdue people here. There's some that are kind of get mad,
yeah.
They do, about the drum and everything else.
Well, if you're that good at surveying, you should survey the drum and say, yeah, the Koreans have bigger drums. We have
survey
excellent
West
tools
Lafayette
here.
And Lafayette.
Purdue Northwest can expose this for what the truth is. Wine marketing.
What's this Chico State? No, that's Chico State. It's not. But it's like
that's Boone's Farm at Chico State.
Yeah, right. University of San Francisco.
Not bad. Washington State. They have a lot of good wineries up
okay.
there.
Okay. Okay.
I don't know. Let's see what journalism. Oh, geez. Journalism.
Wow.
How to get laid off? what the hell? A journalism national title. I don't know how you win this.
Well, clearly it's the University of Missouri won that.
It is not.
Come on.
University of North Carolina won the journalism.
That's clearly a bogus kind of competition.
Steve Politti with the NIL deal. congrats. Politti, all right.
Scott Fowler.
What school is this? I don't know what that is. Anyway, somebody won snowshoe. It says Paul Smith's Bobcats.
I don't know. Is there a University of Paul Smith? Is there a Paul Smith University?
What is that? I'm going to look this up. Paul Smith's Bobcats. They won snowshoe.
Smith.
Another bad spectator.
Paul
sport.
Smith's College Home. Here we go.
That's a guy has a house. Just like a.
I mean, you know.
Paul Smith's Bobcats Athletics.
Yeah, it looks. What is they got a is picture of people out in the snow standing around.
They got a woman with a hatchet. She's cutting.
Oh man,
cutting wood, chopping wood. You have wood chopping.
The Smitty difference. That's your promo videos. Paul Smith College celebrates 75 years. Been around.
It's up in New York. Like, yeah. It's the College of the Adirondacks. All right. Way to go, Paul.
Yeah. I mean, a possessive apostrophe school name, though, I don't like. Just make it Paul Smith College. Why is this Paul Smith's College? I don't know. I'm kind of angry about that.
I'm going to get to this. I'm going to look this up because I have to have some kind of... what in the world is this? But the national championship in Mars Rover.
What?
Mars Rover national title. Who are you picking? And you're not getting it right.
The University of Mars is who I'm picking. Like, who else is on Mars? How can you win the Mars Rover contest without being on Mars?
It is the West Virginia Mountaineers.
Oh, come on.
Country roads take me home.
Maybe that's where Huggins thought he was.
Yeah, Mountain Mars.
Mars. Good God.
As
really?
Humans explore and colonize Mars, there will be a need to have autonomous and remote-controlled rovers to work alongside and aid human teams. To this end, this is from the WVU Rover Challenge webpage. To this end, the Mars Society invites teams from colleges around the world to compete in the University Rover Challenge. For this competition, teams are tasked to complete specific challenges, include an extreme distance, an autonomous terrain traversal challenge, equipment maintenance, sample retrieval, and scientific analysis.
Wow. Okay.
WVU, national champs.
Yeah, well, good for them, you know. Goodness
is,
gracious.
Is Mars mountainous? Like, they don't have any trees. Like, they don't have, like, an advantage of, like, rolling over the mountains of West Virginia, do they?
No, I mean, I don't know. I have to say my knowledge of the Mars terrain is not great.
Seems pretty bleak.
Yeah. I have discovered, by the way, well, I'm still on the Paul Smith's College website.
Yeah.
They have a long list of co-ed sports, including woodsmen, which it seems to me should be woodsmen and woodswomen or woods people, but whatever.
Co-ed woodsmen? Yeah.
Yeah. Co-ed woodsmen. Yeah. They got a big schedule. I mean, they're like at Finger Lakes Community College. Oh. They host
throw out the records when Paul Smith and Finger Lakes Community get after it with a couple axes.
That's right. New Hampshire, UConn, SUNY Alfred, SUNY Cobleskill. Good stuff. I love to find out what all is involved there.
I don't know. Well, thank you, Sickos Committee. That is week four of their celebration of non-NCAA titles, giving us plenty of off-season material here. I hope there's a fifth. I don't know. These things are incredible.
Oh, it's awesome. Great stuff.
A lot going on at college. A lot going on.
Give us a quick Jello shot update.
Well, LSU is destroying the competition. Let me see what the latest we have here. Our man Sully should be completely humiliated, I know, with Tennessee's. Where's the Jello? I follow this account.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there it is. If you recall, the College World Series, Roscoe's Pizza in Omaha has a Jello shot challenge. You have Jello, and you can, you know, each team has a running tally on this whiteboard. It's fantastic. Proceeds from every shot go to food banks. And the current latest update of the Jello shot Rocco's Jello shot challenge is LSU with 11,948. The next closest is Wake, 4,744. So they're 150%
effort by Wake. Impressive.
Very. Tennessee and Florida. Florida's at 1,600. Tennessee's at 1,400. Total embarrassment. Total humiliation. Oral Roberts, who you said would finish last, is at almost 2,500.
Wow.
TCU's at 2,900. They're going to punch above their weight always.
Yep.
Horned Frogs are coming. But Tennessee? Gators? Jello shots? You can't do Jello. I mean, what is going on, Pat?
Yeah, that is a terrible, terrible effort. We need Sully to explain himself there. This falls squarely on him personally.
Virginia and Stanford are way behind, but we didn't expect anything out of them.
Yeah, no. They are the Chablis drinkers of the group.
Yeah. So. But yeah, LSU is going to just win this thing, and that's not going to be a thing. What was the record last year? Ole Miss set the record.
Yeah.
Let me see. I'll call it up here. Shouldn't be too far. This count doesn't do too many shots. 18,000 last year was the record.
Wow. That's hefty.
That is going to get absolutely wiped out.
Yeah.
I mean, got all week. LSU could get hit 30,000. It was really a matter of time before LSU. It just drinking contests, they all sound fun until LSU shows up. Yeah. I saw a line. They invited professionals to an amateur event, right? It's like putting Patrick Mahomes in a college game now. It's not going to end well. So there we are. We'll keep you updated, but not a lot of drama unless the Volunteers get off their ass and start eating Jello shots.
I don't like their chances.
No, by them either.
By the way, Paul Smith Bobcats, the Woodsman team, they pose with like chainsaws and axes.
Of course, yeah. They did. Yeah. All right, we'll be back later in the week. I'm not sure what the show is going to entail at that point. Pat's going on vacation. Ross is lost at sea, but we'll come up with something. I promise. I will be. Somebody around here be working. Somebody will be working.
Dan just talking to himself.
Could be just me. Just talk. God, that'd be horrible. No, we'll have a good show. I promise. Ross says he's going to join the show from the boat. I don't. Well, no. We don't know. I doubt
it. Oh for one. So far.
I think he got the all you can drink thing. And all right. Well, we'll talk to you later.